Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to cover day two of the Big Ten Media Days. But first, we are going to revisit the tragic Mike Sadler situation. Former Michigan State punter Craig Jarrett is with us. And he's going to talk about a special project he initiated, the Mike Sadler Memorial Football Scholarship Endowment. Craig, we understand that this is a rough time for you, the Spartan family, and so we just really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me here. It's important to a lot of people to get this going, so definitely want to spread the word.
Yeah. Now, when I introduced you, I talked about it being a Spartan family, and it really is a close-knit group. You talk to everybody on the team, even, you know, hey, Mike Sadler was like my brother. Mike Sadler was the best person that I know. You were at Michigan State like 10 years before Sadler came to campus. What was your relationship like with him?
Well, I mean, it certainly is one of those things where anytime I was up there, you know, I talked to Mike. If I stopped by a practice, if I went to the game, I talked to Mike just like I do with Jake now. It's currently there. And, you know, Brandon Fields before him, Daly before him. You know, we've always had a strong tradition, especially at the punter position. You know, and I take a lot of pride in that personally. So if there's anything I can ever do to help any of the punters, that I certainly want to do that. So, you know, I knew Mike, and, you know, we text back and forth, bounced ideas off of each other, And, you know, when I was in the area, I was stopping by and seeing him, checking on him, seeing how he's doing. You know, the last couple of years, when he was done, we worked, you know, kicking camps together and hung out and, you know, went to his place and, you know, just kind of caught up and, you know, went to dinner and things like that. So, you know, that was my relationship with Mike. You know, if he needed me, then I was there for him to reach out and vice versa.
What memory of Mike do you have that really, because you're the one who kind of initiated the whole scholarship idea, what memory do you have that really pushed that forward, that really made it a priority for you?
I don't know that there's one certain memory. You know, when I found out, like everyone else did, you know, on Sunday, it was just a punch in the gut to me. And, you know, I haven't had an experience myself of losing. I've been fortunate to not have to put up with losing a lot of friends at an early age. So I've never really dealt with it. So, it was, you know, like I said, it was a punch in the gut. And, you know, I didn't want it to be something that was talked about for a week and then was gone, you know. And, again, with the punter tradition that we have, you know, it's personal to me. I take it, you know, personally with all the punters there. I want to do everything I can to help. You know, I bleed green and white, so I wanted right away as fast as possible, but the right way. And as you know, every teammate can say positive things about him. You know, the thing that a lot of people don't know about him is he was a genius. He took academics every bit as serious and maybe more than football. And if you hung out with him, he never treated anyone like that. He never treated anyone that he was above him or on a pedestal. You know, he made fun of himself more than he made fun of others, you know. So you would just never know that he was so smart and, you know, had applied engineering and public policy and, you know, starting Stanford Law. That's the thing that people probably didn't know about him. You know, if they see him just as an athlete, you know, that's certainly not the case. So I wanted to, as soon as possible, to cement his legacy in the Spartan football family as long as possible. And, you know, quite honestly, when I first said that on Twitter, you know, it was raw emotion from me. And next thing you know, I had just crazy amount of support from people all over the world asking me, how can I donate, sending me direct messages. And it was really, you know, heartfelt touching. It was just, I can't really put it into words, the feeling. It was just overwhelming mass support. And that's really what pushed me over the edge to say, okay, I really have to get something now, because not only is it important to me, it's important to a lot of other people as well. So that's kind of what spawned the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about him being a genius. You said what his degree was in, applied science engineering, or I believe is that what you said? And he was getting like
his undergrad. His undergrad,
yeah.
Applied engineering, and you know, he knocked that out in 3 years. So,
to get those types of grades, well, you're dedicating a lot of your time to football, and then you have the actual classes themselves, and it's something that is really unbelievable. The guy could have done pretty much whatever he wanted to. You said at Stanford, law school was up next for him to conquer. What are the types of qualifications that are possibly being looked at to receive part of the scholarship?
Still kind of hammering out the final details, and the athletic department is going to put out a statement at some point here moving forward, just to make the biggest impact. You know, they certainly can reach a lot more people at once than I can via Twitter, Facebook, and everything else. Although I'm certainly going to reach out to mass people once everything is completely finalized. But with talking to Coach D'Antonio, you know, we're thinking something, you know, any football player that potentially can win this scholarship or earn it. And, you know, the only caveat really is going to be, you know, someone that has a great sense of humor like Mike did, and someone that really took into academics like Mike did as well. So, you know, those are really going to be the two qualities. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be Coach D'Antonio's decision on which direction he'd like to go with that.
You talked about how you were kind of speaking on raw emotion when you made this announcement that a lot of people, obviously, we at iSports Web picked up as well. What was the process like after that, after getting it started?
The process actually, you know, when I first said that, and then, you know, I mean, within minutes, people were saying, hey, I got $100. Hey, I have $500. Hey, Craig, I want to donate. How do I do that? And initially, I was like, okay, I've never set up a fund before. So then, you know, I started thinking, well, I don't want to miss any opportunities of people to send something. So I was thinking to myself, well, perhaps I should just give them my home address. And then my wife, who's an attorney, said, well, what happens if someone, you know, donates $5,000, then, you know, you'll need a tax receipt for them. And I said, oh, my gosh, you're right. So that's when I kind of, you know, called around some people at Michigan State and ultimately got a hold of the Spartan Fund. And once they took care of it on their end, it was really seamless. You know, we just needed some confirmation from a couple of people to get it going. And, you know, that was really it. You know, the name needed to be adjusted and whatnot. But that was really it. So it really wasn't as difficult as I thought it was. You know, you just had to talk to the right people that knew how to do it. And once that was done, then, you know, it was, again, it was pretty seamless. But initially, I was kind of, you know, running in circles because I just had no idea how to do it on my own with never going through the experience. But the people from the Spartan Fund were more than willing and just wanted to get it taken care of. And again, wanted it done the right way. So that's kind of why we're waiting, you know, to make any official announcement. I did put it on Twitter. But other than that, we're waiting on the athletic department to give the details on where they, you know, want money to go just to hit a bigger audience all at once. So it really wasn't that difficult. It seemed like a huge hurdle when I first said it. And then once I got all the right people, it was really easy. The bigger problem. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I apologize. I thought you were finished.
Oh, I guess one other thing is that would would be pertinent to the conversation as far as the funding set up. $50,000 will endow the fund. And once it gets to that point, then it will live on forever. And we, you know, I certainly have plans moving forward in the future, perhaps a golf outing and some other things lined up that could, you know, donate to the cause as well. But I've been told that your goal is $10,000 a year, and by 5 years, you want to have that endowment fully funded at $50,000. I think with the overwhelming response and getting it out there, you're within the next few days, and I really think that we can get that number by 6 months to a year and just really have it be an awesome thing and an awesome tribute to Mike.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me with how well-received Mike was and the tight-knit community that, you know, Spartans have up in East Lansing. Again, Mike Sadler's memorial service this Sunday, 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. That was former Michigan State punter Craig Jarrett. Craig, thank you again for coming on. Again, he's establishing a scholarship fund in the memory of Mike Sadler. Talking about Mike, sharing your personal experiences, what you're doing is absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. And that was Craig Jarrett, who is setting up the Mike Sadler Memorial Football Scholarship Endowment. With me now is Chris Stanton. Chris,
morning,
I know
Tyler.
You just rang in at the end of that, but man, you really got a initiative of Craig Jarrett to get something started like that, even if he was speaking on pure emotion at first.
Well, it's outstanding. I mean, he had me hanging on every word. Craig's obviously a great member of the Spartan Nation family, the Spartan Dogs, having played there. Just a wonderful thing that he's doing. And I don't know about you, but this is not surprising at all. I mean, every university has a tight-knit group that comes together for tragedies. Certainly we saw the Chad Tough stuff for Michigan and different things, but Michigan State is really good.
Well, you can even go to
care
Michigan State with Lacey.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. No, this is a wonderful thing that he's doing, and I fully expect this to be quite large in Mike's honor.
Yeah, let's kind of turn our attention here. It's really rough to do it without a break. I said this on Monday, too, when we were talking about Sadler. But, we are going to try to turn our attention to football, and obviously there's bigger things going on besides that when you look at what happened to Sam Pulp and Sadler. Mark D'Antonio, he spoke yesterday, Big Ten Media Day, first time since the accident. And you really understand, even in him not speaking about Sadler, how tight of a group Spartan Nation is. And this year's group, it doesn't really appear to be any different than the rest.
The chemistry within this program is incredible. And obviously, you know, Mark D'Antonio is a man of great character, and it certainly filters down through his staff to the players.
Yeah. He talked yesterday about some of the stronger points, obviously, defense. What was the biggest thing that you took away from what D'Antonio said?
Just certainly the depth. One of the first questions that was asked of D'Antonio was about Chris Fry, the fact that he had run with the ones and he had spent that much time, and the reporter had asked why he had slipped to the twos. At linebacker, our depth is incredible, and D'Antonio's response, I thought, was on point when he said, you know, we view him as a starter. We have several starters at that position, that group, and really across the board, sure, wide receiver is going to be a question mark. And different things, offensive line, we're replacing some pretty talented individuals. But as he spoke about the depth of our program, it made me feel really good. Now, you and I have talked about questions at certain positions and being uneasy simply because we don't know what we're working with. But I think D'Antonio kind of reassured us the fact that, you know, this program is strong. We're not going anywhere.
I mean, you talked specifically about the linebacker positions. He said yesterday five starters, the linebacker, that's Fry, Dowell, who have obviously switched off or switched on and off again at one linebacker spot, Riley Bolin and John Reschke. Davis, he's probably going to get that 6 year. Everything looks to be good as far as that goes. And
yeah, he alluded
asking,
to the fact that things
I'm
gonna going to
say
well
he probably starts over Dowell and Fry just because I think outside of Sherrod and Demetrius Cooper, he's probably the best pass rusher Michigan State has.
Sure. And I'm going to tell you right now, look out for Kevin Williams. He's coming here. He wants to win. He was raised through a very good football program. He's a very tough individual. And we're doing very well with some of our transfers, whether it be basketball, and hopefully that continues with Ben Carter and the like. But Kevin Williams certainly is a player to look out for.
Yeah, and let's kind of turn our attention. We talked about how Michigan State is losing a lot, them being one of the three favorites still, despite that, another one of the favorites, the favorite, to win the Big Ten. Ohio State, they're losing a lot. What did you get from Urban Meyer about how they plan on reloading? Obviously, unlike Michigan State, they do have one position that is set that tends to be a little bit important to the game of football, and that's quarterback spot.
For sure. Urban Meyer is he's pretty tight-lipped as far as some of his answers go, and I suppose we can't look too far with our own with that. D'Antonio is very tight-lipped on things. But when you're Ohio State, you simply reload. The state of Ohio, kids are born and raised to love Scarlet and Gray, and it's one of the best football-producing states in our country. Obviously, you have Florida and you have Texas and California, but don't sleep on Ohio high school football. Ohio State's going to be just fine. The running back dismissal is somewhat questionable when you think about it, but I think they're doing the right thing. As far as the quarterback position goes, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be very solid, and if they have an injury like they've had in the past, Ohio State is going to be tough. It's going to be one of certainly our biggest challenges of the season.
Well, you talk about the state of Ohio talent, and, I mean, Michigan State has dipped well into that pool. Guys like LJ Scott, Tyler O'Connor, Connor Cook.
Le'Veon Bell.
I think the Tyler O'Connor and Michael Geiger ones really came back to hurt Ohio State there last year. So the talent is obviously there in that state. And without a team like Michigan, obviously Michigan State has probably been their biggest rival as far as the recruiting circuit goes in that state. But without a team like a Michigan, or if you're not battling it out to a lesser degree, Illinois and Northwestern or anything like that, you don't have that intrastate rivalry. It is easy for you to reload, especially with the talent that is there.
Sure.
One of the more interesting things, speaking of Illinois, one of the things that I've really been looking forward to this Big Ten season, the debut of Lovie Smith. He's one of those guys who can, I don't know if he can instantly turn around a program that is as far down as Illinois is, but I like his odds better than where a lot of the hype was around Chris Ash going to Rutgers.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny. D'Antonio was actually asked a question about Lovie Smith during his time at the podium. And I think it might have caught D'Antonio by surprise at first. And he even said that he doesn't know Lovie all that well. But I think, you know, they're both men of character. They both preach strong defense. And it will take a couple years for sure. But Illinois football is on the uptrend. They've been down for quite a while. And it looks like they are a player in the West. Getting back to Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan, obviously, that's one of the toughest divisions in all of college football. And when Jim Delaney was asked about it during his time at the podium, if realignment was going to be something in the future or if something would be done, Delaney kind of talked around it. And it doesn't sound like he has any plans to change up the divisions. It'll be interesting to see if the Big Ten adds members, if their hand is forced. But certainly, we have our work cut out for us in the East, and, you know, Lovie Smith kind of catches a break a little bit being in the Big Ten West.
Obviously, but you look at it, like teams like Nebraska, they lost so many games at the end, kind of reminiscent of an under 500 Michigan State team from 2012, which I know you're not exactly the biggest fan in the world of talking about. but if you look at Nebraska, they've got the potential to reach it. Iowa, they've got a tendency to show up and then disappear. I think it's going to be another year before they disappear. Their defense is coming back almost as strong as last year. Obviously,
correct,
holding on to a talented quarterback like C.J. Beathard is huge. And then Wisconsin, they'll always be not a lot higher. And so they're not going to go anywhere. And they're
you
not
can't
going to go anywhere anytime soon. Yeah, Northwestern,
you know,
they won 10
Fitzgerald
games last
back,
year.
Absolutely. You know, they've had 10 wins now a couple times in the last few years. Pat Fitzgerald alluded to the fact that they've been getting the work done in the weight room, kind of a la Michigan State, and Michigan State's best-kept secret, Ken Manny, that has really gotten our program tough. Can't sleep on Northwestern. They'll certainly be a player there, too. I'm not saying that the Big Ten West will be easy by any stretch, but the Big Ten East is just unreal.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely is a clear talent discrepancy between those two divisions. But Northwestern, one of the things that I found kind of odd is Clayton Thorson. I thought he looked pretty good as a freshman last year. They say that they need to improve their passing. Justin Jackson returns at running back. I think that a second year in the system tends to help a freshman bring that division as well. I don't think they'll win it. I'm putting my money on Iowa right now, but I think Northwestern can definitely surprise a couple people and maybe get back up to that 8 or 9 win plateau. I don't know if they'll reach 10, but they can get close enough to it. Eaton is my favorite in the Big Ten West. Kirk Ferentz, we talked about it. How does a program that will sit there and they'll play a lot of sophomores, and then 2 years later, all of a sudden become one of the top 10 teams in the country. But then, like, the next year, they drop back down to maybe just above 500. How does Kirk Ferentz, who is old school, seems to be stuck in his ways a little bit, how does he keep that program relevant?
Well, certainly last year helps. Iowa football was back in the spotlight. Michigan State's spotlight was just a little bit brighter thanks to LJ Scott and really a whole team effort. But those guys grow up. Certainly they have some young guys who are now battle tested. And I think as recruits see that, and I don't have Iowa's recruiting rankings in front of me, but I know that they have a couple solid kids coming in. They see the fact that, hey, I'm going to get a chance to play in a big time conference on a big stage pretty soon. I'm not waiting for 3 or 4 years to get my shot. I think Iowa can use that to their advantage and has.
I mean, that's pretty much the only headlines that we can kind of take away from Big Ten Media Days. Big Ten Media Days tends to be like the exhibitions before the exhibitions begin. Some of those things that sometimes they are a little more fun, a little more goofy. If you want to sign someone's bicep, go ahead and do it. If you want to try again the next day because the first one wasn't good, try again, Jim Harbaugh. but one of the things that I do want to talk about is, and this is kind of a controversial issue that not a lot of people are talking about. We've got about 5 minutes left here in the show. Think of how lopsided the schedule was for the Big Ten Media Days. Obviously, yesterday, you had the defending Big Ten champs. You had Ohio State, who was favored year in and year out. You had Iowa, who won the Big Ten West last year. You had Lovie Smith, who might be the best hire of the offseason. And then the other day, you get Michigan and, well, that's it.
Jim Harbaugh and a bunch of dudes. With no disrespect to the other programs that went on the first day, but certainly they're more of the average
makers,
or less than.
Yeah, as far as headline makers go, the only real headline coming out of yesterday thing, or out of Monday, other than the fact that Mike Riley of Nebraska was not there due to reasons we already talked about on the show, that, you know, the death of Sam Folt. Then the next day you have the defending Big Ten champs, the favorites. You have the Big Ten West champs. You have DJ Durkin. You have Lovie Smith.
Yeah, I don't know if that's poor planning or what that's about. Certainly, though, with the Big Ten, I think it comes down to financial decisions. Say what you will about Jim Delaney. He has put the conference in a spot to be profitable, and I think they wanted Jim Harbaugh to have that solo spotlight on day one. They know that with a stronger Michigan, the conference is going to make more money. There's more exposure. And, you know, as Spartan fans, whether we like that or not, that is true.
Oh, yeah, and I'll absolutely agree with you there. I think that the more exposure that program that Michigan gets, I think that it's going to be a lot stronger. However, my counterpoint would be, doesn't Jim Harbaugh bring in enough coverage by himself?
Clearly, though, for his standards, he may not. This is a guy who feels the need to run around without a shirt on to sleep over at recruits' houses and make rap videos. This guy, in many ways, reminds me of a fill-in-the-blank celebrity or political figure. You know, he very much wants it about him. He's trying to turn that into a program that young people will want to play for. I understand the method to his madness a little bit, but and I don't know if you see it this way too, but this feeds into as Spartans, we should not be angry about this at all, because what it does is it pushes us down a little bit, and it makes that chip even bigger, whether it be the preseason predictions or whatever it is. That chip on our shoulder has served us well and will continue to serve us well. So if the spotlight is not quite on Michigan State, I am frankly okay with that, and I'm pretty sure Mark D'Antonio is as well.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio has obviously made a living of turning the underdogs and just, well, you've seen what he's done. Three championships since 2010. Obviously, there was that split that one year with Wisconsin and Ohio State. It was kind of a slower Big Ten media day. You thought it could obviously have picked up a little more. What do you part into that?
Well, certainly the tragedy over the weekend. I think that set somewhat of a somber and a down mood to the media days. I think that you would not see anything provocative or outlandish simply because that casts a shadow and will cast a shadow for a while. It'll be interesting to see a couple things during the season. Can Nebraska ride out the emotional wave that they're on now? Can they play for Sam's memory, and can they make their way to Indianapolis? Which it's a long shot, but it's possible. Can Michigan State, even though Sadler's been gone for a couple of years now, can they use that to their advantage? Will this become a rivalry? This week, the rivalry trophy talk has popped up. So it'll be interesting to see. Yes, the Big Ten media days were kind of down a notch as far as excitement goes, but understandably so, and let's see how this plays out.
Thank you to Chris Stanton here, obviously, for going in at literally the last possible second. That does it for us today. Thank you to Craig Jarrett for coming on the show. He talked about the scholarship fund and that he is starting up in his relationship with former Michigan State punter Mike Sadler. For Chris Stanton, I am Tyler Hayward. This is the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.